Good evening, everybody. We are approaching Parshas Truma. We just finished the first day of Adar, and we are going to learn this evening that there is a rather significant connection between the holiday of Purim, the story of Esther, and the concept of the Beis Hamikdash. So here we go. Shmos. Oh my gosh, let me email the Marmakomos. But Shmos Chav Hei Chet says, V'asu L'mikdash, V'shachanti B'socham. So that means that Hashem commands us to build the Beis HaMikdash, and He will dwell among us. So let me email the Marmakomos. Okay. Thank you for reminding me, AB. Thank you for coming as well. All right. And I post them all your Torah on the website, sending the Marmakomos right now. Okay, they have been sent. So the Rambam writes one of the 630 mitzvahs, namely the 20th, his He should Sivana Livnos Beis HaBechira LaAvoda. We are commanded to actually build the Beis HaMikdash. The source for that mitzvah is this pasuk. And the Sifri, the Rambam quotes as saying that there are actually three mitzvos commanded to the Jewish people by Eisken Yisus and Eretz Yisrael. Namely, Livnos Lan Melech, we have to appoint a king. Number two, Livnos Lan Beis HaBechir, to build the Beis HaMikdash. Number three, to destroy Amalek. Now, what we could have understood was building the Beis HaMikdash could have been broken up into many, many mitzvahs out of the 613. Like, one could have understood potentially that building the Aron is one mitzvah, building the menorah is the second mitzvah, etc., etc. But the Rambam says no. Shezah klal kulal kolon minim rabim shehem ha-menorah v'ashulcham namim zeach v'azulasam kulam mechelke ha-mikdash v'akol yikra mikdash. All of the kelim are included in this one central mitzvah, namely building the quote-unquote mikdash. There's one exception, namely the mizbeach adama, because the pasuk specifically says mizbeach adama tasuli, and that apparently therefore warrants its separate counting. So on a halachic level, we understand there's a mitzvah on the books to build the Beis HaMikdash. Last year we spoke about whether or not the third Beis HaMikdash will be built by man or will be built in the sense that it will fall from the sky, Rashi versus the Rambam. This year, we're just going to focus more on the connection in general now that it's the month of Adar between Purim and Yerushalayim. And I want to again preface that every year when I get to Parshas Truma, I'm so excited. Why am I excited when I get to Parshas Truma? Because every year I open up the Sefer. That's a good guess. Because I open up the Sefer, namely what most people nowadays would call the Mishkan Illuminated, because now it's on its third edition in English of Feldheim's printing. But I bought it years ago when it was still called HaMishkan B'Sefarto. And the original Sefer was written in Hebrew and it's 600 pages, and it was out of print. The great Rav David Myers, a Rebbe for elementary school students in the Tells Cleveland community, wrote an unbelievable Sefer going into all the details of the Mishkan. Now, if you want to learn Chumash Rashi seriously, Parshas Mishpatim is notably harder than the previous. But you know what? You can try to figure it out. If you don't have a picture book for Parshas Truma, you can't. You need a visual aid. Art Scroll does a very nice job. But what Rabbi Myers did was that he wrote a Sefer for Parshas Truma, every pasuk with a corresponding explanation and unbelievable pictures. 2 weeks ago or so, Rabbi Shmuel Liefer's grandson was here for Shabbos. And I was schmoozing with him. I said, where are you learning? Where are you from? And he said, I'm learning in Tells, Cleveland. So I said, do you know Rabbi David Myers? He said, yeah. I see him around. So tell him his chassid from TABC and Fairlawn says hello. And Rabbi Myers emailed me back 2 days later. Got your regards. We're in touch. Why are we in touch? Because he printed his number in the back of the Sefer, and I bought 40 copies of the Sefer for TABC boys who learned Shnei Mikra, and I Zoomed with him, had a whole interview with him, and I really, really support that Sefer, and I try to get my Talmidim. In fact, I ordered
English
for these guys. And I ordered 13 this year as well. I hope to pick up from Z. Berman's and Pesach tomorrow. I ordered them today. But this Sefer, to me, is unreal. But the very exciting point for me is that the original Sefer, like the real, like a schmack, 600-page Hebrew, you know, oomph Sefer, was out of print until this year. And he sent me the Sefer this year with his new Sefer on the Big Day Kahuna that finally he wrote and published last year. So 6 years ago, I called him for the first time and I said, when are you writing a Parshas Truma with Sasanda? I need to understand the Big Day Kahuna. He said, I'm working on it. And Baruch Hashem, so now I have these beautiful svarim on my shelf now from Rav David Myers. I love Parshas Truma because I look forward to opening his Sefer every year. And now, you know, we have a very nice relationship Baruch Hashem, and the great Rav David Myers. So I really have tremendous respect for him. Tremendous tzaddik, his midos. Just for example, he met with Rav Chaim Kanievsky for 2 hours and had many letters written back and forth. And Rav David Myers, when I interviewed him, said, "Can you imagine the Gadol HaDor made time for me?" But he has such humility that he was so taken back that Rav Chaim Kanievsky gave him the time of day. You know, and here this man like, made Parshas Truma accessible for Klal Yisrael. You know, wow. Anyway, so there is a midrash that should be learned because most people are pretty afraid of Parshas Truma. Pretty afraid. Why? It's hard. It's hard. You need a picture book, a good one. And there is a midrash that I only know because the Nesiva Shalom quotes it, but here's the midrash inside. We know there's a concept, when you learn korbanos, it's as if you brought the korbanos, right? So similarly, the midrash connects that to learning about the Beis HaMikdash in this week's Parsha. And the third line of the third makor on the page, the Torah says as follows. We'll say, we'll start from Yechezkel. Amr Yechezkel lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where it's underlined. Ribono Shel Olam, ad achshav anu nusinim begola. Ba'aretz so'enenu. We're in the Golos, in the land of our enemies. Va'ata omer li leilech holodil Yisrael tzuras abayis. Yechezkel says to Hashem, do you really want me to prophesy and explain the dimensions of the Beis HaMikdash and the Kelim? And there's a lot of that in Sefer Yechezkel. V'kasuv oso leineyem. The Yishmur has called Su Rosav. This was the Mishkan Illuminator that Yechezkel wrote. Yechezkel Hanavi says to Hashem, it's a tease. Do you really want me to show these graphics, these images to Klal Yisrael, what the Beis HaMikdash is supposed to look like? There's Kolchu Kosav and all the laws of dimensions. Can they really do it? Hey, Niachlem, leave them alone. Yechezkel talking to God. Ad sheyalu min hagola, until wait till they get out of Golos. When they're in Israel, I'll then start talking to them about the details of the menorah and what the flowers and the gold and the shulchan. Amar le'akadosh baruch li'cheskel. U'b'shvil shabana inesunim begoyle. Hey, binyan basi botu. Just because we don't have geula doesn't mean the Beis HaMikdash lies in ruins. Amar le'akadosh baruch gadol kriyasa betorah kibinyana. When you learn, you read the psukim about the construction of the Beis HaMikdash, when you teach it, it's like you're building it. So leich emor lehem, go tell the people. Yes, asku likros suras abayis. Let them steig the Mishkan illuminated. Schwitz over Parshas Truma, so to speak. Obviously, though, Hashem was talking to Yechezkel about Sefer Yechezkel. Betoru v'schar kuyasa. She's askul likros ba, and in reward for reading about the dimensions and the details of the construction of the Mikdash, male ani aleihem keilu heim oskin b'minyan habayis. Wow. So the truth is, every year when I learn the Parsha, I really feel like I'm there. It's unbelievable. And this Midrash is fire on the page. That when we learn Parshas Truma in the appropriate way, it's as if we're building the Beis HaMikdash. And I want to just give you a little bit of a taste of that. Because if you really take the Parsha very seriously, you're going to learn very unique Ramazim. The Netziv, for example, writes on Chafei Ches on this week's Parsha, V'en yedichol prate ha-mishkan, mechuvanim neged kol prate olam shebara hayotzer yisbarach. Every detail of the Mishkan corresponds to the way the Ribbono Shel Olam created the world. V'ushekolel shochin b'chal ha-olam, and Hashem lives in the world. So the Mishkan resembles Hashem's construction of the world. And then he says in the second paragraph, so all these details that might seem overly meticulous, too nuanced, you might have thought that some of the details are just maybe superfluous, perhaps unnecessary, ideal. So you have to put 50 loops on the Mishkan's roofs to latch one curtain to the other curtain. What if you had 49 instead of 50? You're missing a button. Big deal or not a big deal? What would you say? So I would have thought, says the Netziv, it's not such a big deal. All right, 49, you're missing a button, it'll still work. Avalo kein hadavar, says the Tzivit. Not true. Elekach hechrech lefi binyan ha'olam. She'asor lulos negdam davka chamishim lulos. For whatever reason, 50 is a very specific number, corresponding on a Kabbalistic level to a deeper 50 that Hashem used when He created the world. And if you left one out, hari anu b'tur ha'olam ve'ein ha'shchini yechol liyos besochem. The Shechina will not dwell in the Mishkan unless the details are in check. Pretty amazing. Wow. So far, we have learned that there's a mitzvah to build the Beis HaMikdash, and when we learn about the details, it's as if we are building it, and the details are not supposed to be viewed superficially. Meaning the details, says the Nativ, are very intentional. Wow. Famously, though, it starts with an Alshech and goes to Norachim and then the Kliyakar. All the Mepharshim are Medayik, that when the Pasuk says that Hashem will dwell His Shechina, it doesn't say in the Mishkan, it doesn't say Besocho, rather it says Besocham. So what does that suggest? That the location where Hashem dwells His Shechina is not actually in the Mishkan, but rather it's in the Jewish people. Right? B'shechanti Besocham, I will dwell amongst you. So which means, I would have thought originally that what is the source of the Shechina? I mean, where is the Shechina housed? And what causes it to be there? I would have said, without the Mishkan, there's no Shechina. Kamash Malan what? No. Says the Alshich, who's the first one to say it, he gets the credit, that Ein Ashras HaShechina Bo Mitzad Atzmo, rather it's because of the people. And from the people, the Shechina spreads to the Mishkan. And the Aruch Haim says a slice of liberally that we surrounded the Mishkan. And the Kliyakar says that's why the Aron needs to be built out of Eitz Arazim, because a Tzadik is compared to Arazim. Tzadik Katama Yifrach Ke'erez Bilvanon Yisgeb. So the idea being that all the while we get very excited about the Mishkan and the Beis HaMikdash, but ultimately what's even, dare I say, more of a dwelling of the Shechina than the Beis HaMikdash of the Mishkan? You, Robert, as holy as the Mishkan is, we're going to argue this evening that Robert is holier. Now, obviously, that Robert might be an exception to the rule, but even the commoners among us, because what happens, obviously, if you get carried away with the Mishkan and the Beis HaMikdash? What ends up happening? If the Beis HaMikdash gets destroyed, what ends up happening? You lose everything. Ah, so if you invest all your stock in the Mishkan and the Beis HaMikdash, you're going to erroneously conclude that once there is no Beis HaMikdash, we have severed everything with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we're going to learn this evening that Purim is the answer to that Havamina. That despite the Chorban, there is Hashem. Here we go. Am Rav Yehuda B'Rei D'Rav Shmuel Bar Shilas Mishmei D'Rav Mesechus Tainus Chavtes Amanav. Just like when the month of Av enters, we diminish our simcha. Famously, Rashi says a chiddush. What is Mishin Nichnas Adar? Why are we happy? We should be very happy. There are days of miracle. Hashem redeems us. When? Purim u'Pesach. So actually, there's a little bit of a curveball there, where we're not only happy because of the geula of Purim, but it's a spiral. It's a beginning of a season of miracles. The Purim miracles, the Pesach miracles, it's all part of our recognition of Hashem's presence and ability to save us. Very nice. And on a practical level, what does that mean then, according to Rashi? Just be happy? Yes. According to Shlomo Zalman Orbach and Lidl Shlomo, there is no one way to eat Reese's Pieces. And there is no one way to be happy in Adar. Eina kavana sheyesh laharbos bepu'ulo shel simcha. Doesn't mean you should do actions that are happy actions. El ikra kavana lahasr milibo biyamim elu kol daiga ve'etzev. Do you know how you should be happy in Adar? Be less worried. Be less sad. It's not like you should have meat and eat wine, drink wine or whatever. Not that poskim don't say that. There are those who do say that. But the idea is that according to, we'll say, approach number one, it's a time to recognize that you have a lot less to worry about than you might have thought. Hashem has got your back. In the same way He saved us in Purim and Pesach, He'll save you from whatever you're going through in 2023. So be less worried. It's a message of bitachon, seemingly. Very nice. Beautiful. However, the Sfas Emes says, if not for Rashi, I would have had a different pshat. Meaning, in his Anava, the Sfas Emes, Meseches Tainis over there, in addition to being Chassidish master of the Ger Chassidim, the Sfas Emes also has Chidushim and Shas, Rambam. You know, the Sfas Emes, tremendous Talmud Chacham in Nistar and Nigla. Not only Chassidus. The Sfas Emes writes, what did the Gemara do? It didn't just say that we should be happy in Adar. What did the Gemara say? Just like we are sad in Av, so too we are happy in Adar. There seemingly is a relationship between those 2 months.
I heard something else today that, you know, how do you always compare Yom Kippur and Purim?
Ah, very good.
Just like Yom Kippur has the Aseret Shemei Tshuva, you should have like a Aseret Shemei Simcha for around Tzion and Purim.
Whoa. Well, I love that idea. We'd have to put a little bit more details to those rules.
Yeah,
you know, I'm a little bit afraid of what that might mean. That being said, you know, Robert. Yeah, you know, I hear that. Okay. Okay, good. So ultimately, the Sfas Emes says that the Simcha of Adar actually has nothing to do with Purim. It has to do with the Beis HaMikdash. Sheba Adar hayakim ha-korbanos v'amikdash. The Adar zman shkalim chodesh b'nizam. This past Parsha was Parsha Shkalim, because we would announce on Chodesh Adar to start giving the Machis as a shekel. For what purpose? Wow. So what's the source of the simcha? That we are contributing to the Beis HaMikdash. So we are sad and av because we don't have the Beis HaMikdash. Oh, and according to the Sfas Emes, we're happy in Adar because of our connection with the Beis HaMikdash. Nothing to do with Purim.
When did the Gemara say Mishnechnas Adar? After Purim or before Purim? The Gemara came way after.
I love the question.
What was the Gemara referring to?
That's not the right. Well, Rashi says Bimei Purim, right. So the Sfas Emes says you can learn like Rashi, obviously, but you don't have to learn like Rashi, right? So that's the Machlokas, whether it's related to Purim or not. Very good. But yeah, seemingly the Gemara, you know, was speaking already post Purim times. Now, the Purim story itself has a lot to do with the Beis HaMikdash. Amar Chia bar Avin, Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha. The question asked in the Gemara and Yedal and Manalef and Mesechus Megillah is, why do we not say Hallel on Purim? And one of the answers is, Akati Av the Achashverosh Anan. When the story ends, we're not in Yerushalayim with the Beis HaMikdash, which means there is a bittersweet ending to the story. On one hand, we obviously celebrate our triumph over Haman and our victory and our survival. Yet, let's not forget about the fact that we didn't get Geula at the end of the story. Also, just to point out, how is Mordechai introduced in the Megillah? As someone who was exiled. The very first time Mordechai is introduced in the Megillah, we lay in the tune of Eicha. That's it. That's exactly right, right? We give, you know, we just say, he was kicked out of Yerushalayim. And in Meseches Megillah Yebeis Man Aleph, what does it mean? Be'aros says Osher Kvod Malchusam Reb Yosi Bar Chanina Malavin Shalavish Big Day Kahuna, that Achashverosh literally wore the Big Day Kahuna to make fun of us. The Torah says Tiferes in both Megillah and the Parshas Tetzaveh. Similarly, the Gemara goes on to say that we were served in Kalim Shonim, which is grammatically incorrect. It should have said Mishunim. Amar Rava Yatz Tabaskel V'Amar Lehem Mishonim Kalim Mipnei Kalim Atim Shonim Behem, meaning Belshazzar tried this move already by making fun of the Kalim of the Beis HaMikdash, and Achashverosh repeated it. Ultimately, the man was wearing the Big Day Kahuna and serving us at the party in the Kalim of the Beis HaMikdash. Essentially, they were celebrating the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. That's the story. And Jews were there watching the mockery of our destruction. And similarly, what happens when Esther approaches Achashverosh? The king tells Esther, up to half the kingdom I'll give you. What does that mean, up to half the kingdom? I'll only give you half, but I won't give you all. What does that mean? What's not all? I'm not going to give you something that intervenes, that interferes rather with my kingdom. Achashverosh told Esther, I'll give you anything you want unless you request the continuation of the construction of the Beis HaMikdash. It was halted. Achashverosh, don't start that. So there's a lot of underlying Beis Hamikdash references in the Megillah narrative, if you learn it with Chazal. Yet we're happy on Purim. What happens on Purim? We eat, we go all out. How all out? Some of us are out here. Yeah, Sarah Shemei Mishnah. So, there is a halacha in Hilchos Tisha B'Av, Tav Kuf Samech, Sif Beis. To remember the Chorum Beis HaMikdash, don't serve every food out there whenever you serve a meal. You have a barbecue in the summer, maybe leave one food item out. You're going to go all out with ribs and every source. Leave some space at the table without a table setting to at least remember the Chorban. And Rav Yaakov Emden's parish in the Shulchan Aruch is known as the Moruk Tzia. And Rav Yaakov Emden in the Moruk Tzia writes, well, Shabbos and Yom Tov is different because it would be usher. Imagine you get to the Shabbos table or the Yom Tov Suda and you have a place that is absent. You're mourning publicly in the face of Simchas Yom Tov or Shabbos. Inappropriate. And therefore, in Hilchos Purim, Tav Reish Tzadi Hei, the Moruk Tzia, Rav Yaakov Emden writes, nearly She'ein Tzark Lizar B'Sudas Purim, Lasa Zecher La'Avelius Yerushalayim. Purim Suda this year, you don't have to worry about the Chorban Beis HaMikdash. Kevin Dechayv LeBesume B'Puraya. After all, doesn't the halacha say to go all out at the Purim meal? So what does that mean? We could go all out and forget that we don't have the Beis HaMikdash? Is that appropriate or inappropriate? What would you say? Maybe on Shabbos and Yom Tov, whatever, but meaning... meaning, if Tisha B'Av falls out on Shabbos, we eat a regular Shabbos meal. So you can't say, says Rav Yaakov Emden, that Shabbos and Yom Tov, but he even says it by Purim. By Purim. Yeah, Joe, yeah, it makes sense to forget about it and go all out.
Purim is in
the
Yom Tov.
Yet, it's treated like Yom Tov regarding this halacha. Yeah. Right, which is not crazy. But just to point out, the Bi'ur halacha quotes the Me'iri that you should go all out on the Simcha of Purim. Ba'achilu v'shti ad shelo yechzer shum dover. Don't lack anything. So if my wife says, should I make deli roll? Should I make salami? Should I make Yerushalmi kugel? All the above, baby. It's Purim, right? Why hold back? What about the Beis HaMikdash? Not today. Worry about that tomorrow. Is that an orthodox view? Believe it or not, that is the very concept of Purim according to the Vilna Gaon. The Vilna Gaon has a parish on the Gura. What's less known is the sefer known as the Yosef Lakach, which is a Talmud of the Gura who wrote the Gura's parish on the Megillah. I only know of this Yosef Lakach because the great Rav Ephraim Waxman from Muncie spoke in the Young Israel of Fairlawn 5 years ago, I don't know, whatever, 4 years ago. And in that shiur, Ephraim Waxman quoted this Yosef Lakach. Subsequently, I was able to find it inside. And do you know why Mordechai instituted this concept of getting so drunk on Purim? What a very, very unusual halacha. So you know why? The real idea, we had a problem. You can't be happy because Yerushalayim has to trump all simcha. Even under the chuppah, we take time to commemorate and acknowledge the loss of the Beis HaMikdash. But the concept here was to drink and be so happy in Purim that you even forget about the morose, somber emotions, that depressing state of the Chorban. But Mordechai couldn't say it out loud. We can't say, drink until you forget about the Beis HaMikdash. So they had to hide it and couch it, market it slightly differently. Drink until you forget the difference between Mordechai and Haman. Funny concept. But the idea was, no, drink anyway. You know why? These individuals saw the Chorban. They said, the Shechina is gone. The Shechina is gone. But then they saw the miracles of Purim. And what did they remember? Despite being in foreign land, lo azavnu. So you know what? We can be really happy again. Shelo ye bazichron daiga klal. The Vilna Gaon and of Shlomo Zalman Orbach have the same lashon. we don't have any reason to worry. Why not? There's no Beis HaMikdash, but what is there? What is there? There's, namely what? Therefore what? We still have Hashem. The Vilna Gaon says, what Mordechai understood at that moment was something that you don't want to say too loud, was that we don't need the Beis HaMikdash. We don't need it. Mordechai thought Jews could never be happy again after the Golos. The only way to get happy again was maybe to drink, but they've chapped that with a little bit of wine, you can remember one day a year that we have Hashem. Whoa. And maybe, just maybe, one of the major avodas of Purim is to internalize that the whole reason that Hashem dwelled in the Beis HaMikdash was because of us. And in the same way that it wasn't ever really ever about the Beis HaMikdash in terms of the wood and the stones and the gold, but it was about us and our relationship with Hashem, so too nowadays. And that's why Shlomo Zalman Auerbach basically says the same thing as the Vilna Gaon, who was saying the same thing as Mordechai. That there is no reason to worry because we have Hashem just as much now as we've ever had Him. Whoa. So that's a mahalach. But I want to add a little bit. Shechter in the Bikvei Atzon actually writes that Purim would have been usher if not for the Beis HaMikdash. You know why? You're not allowed to institute a new holiday. It's Bal Tosef. The only justification to make a new holiday is if it has a relationship with the Geula. Aschalta de Geula. So you know what happens, says the Nesivos in his Perush on Megillah, known as the Megillah Starim? What did they think was happening when they saw Amalek, Haman's downfall? They genuinely thought this was the beginning of the Geula process. You're only allowed to make a new Yom Tov outside of the Torah if it has a relationship with the Binyan Beis HaMikdash, with the Binyan of the Geula. And the Sfas Emes in Purim says, Nir Kines Purim Hayahachan Lebai Sheni. We know what it'll lead to. What did Purim lead to? To Yavesh giving Rishus to us going back. Esther's son takes the throne eventually and allows us to continue the construction of the Bai Sheni. Bayideha Nes Nigva Libam Vyachlu Lachzer Lebes Amigdash. According to the Sfas Emes, Purim gave us the confidence we needed to continue the construction, despite it having been stopped before. And Rav Shechter in a Sefer, the Bikvei Hatzon, he writes that there's a Ramban in Parshas Naso, which says there's actually always a mitzvah to celebrate the building of the Beis HaMikdash, and that is what allows us to celebrate Purim. Because little did we realize that the simcha of Purim, and maybe even the whole month of Adar, is the same simcha one should have every time they learn Parshas Truma. To feel that excitement of building the Beis HaMikdash. It wasn't just a one-time thing. It's the thing we connect with every single year. The Ramban in Parshas Naso writes, the whole point of building the world was that Hashem wanted to dwell in the Tachtonim. And when we give Hashem a reason to live here, there's no greater simcha in the world. So I hope we internalize the messages of this evening. And every time we learn Parshas Truma, it's like we're literally building the Beis HaMikdash. And the Beis HaMikdash was a means to an end. And even without the Beis HaMikdash, we're zocheh to bring the Shechina into this world. And although people often feel there's so many layers of division between us and the Ribono Shel Olam, how could we ever see Him again? The whole concept of Purim was Mordechai telling us, drink a little bit, calm down, you have a lot less to worry about, and a lot more to celebrate. Yes, there will be another Beis HaMikdash, yes, there will be a Geula. And if there was ever a group of Jews in modern history that could have given up on Purim, it was the Jews in Buchenwald. And Out of the Depths by Rabbi Lau, he writes, the day after Purim Eve, after reading the improvised scroll, the Jews in Buchenwald made a Megillah, celebrated Purim in Buchenwald. The Ukrainian guard whispered, Hitler kaput, Hitler is done for, the very, very end of the war. Within a minute, the announcement spread like wildfire. Do you imagine the emotions of the Jews in Buchenwald? Hearing that finally the Nazis are finally gone, they're about to lose any day. Someone in the middle of the procession began Aror Haman Asher Bikesh L'Avdi Baruch Mordechai HaYehudi. The song of that night returned the next morning, about a month before the liberation. You had a bunch of Jews singing in Buchenwald, and Rabbi Lau writes, we all were singing, and we knew whom Haman was that year. Purim reminds Jews they have everything to look forward to. There is a brighter future ahead. The miracles of Purim, the miracles of Pesach, we should all be zochet to experience the third bias b'meir v'yameinu. Freilich in Purim, let's daven marv.